Okay.
And it's relevant in certain contexts and not others. I mean, and like, sometimes this variation matters in heuristic questions, and sometimes it's just kind of what a data scientist or a machine learning person might characterize as noise. But in some cases, especially in this data set, it's signal.
Okay. I think that one of the most interesting things about your projects is that you're really trying to imagine a number of different scenarios where this data can be used. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I'm sure you've gotten feedback from people about things they're interested in exploring. Can you just talk a little bit about the possibilities and how you can see this being applied?
Yeah, I'll go first. I mean, I think we, as Katie mentioned, we did sit down with, like our eyes aglow with, sort of a list of research questions. And, those are still there in the background, right? Like, as we've sort of gone into this process of trying to get the data in the shape that we need in order to answer those questions. So, even people who have dived right in and started working with the data in its current form and are doing really fascinating things. The people that wanted to look at menus to sort of assess, the decline of certain fish stocks in, the waters around New York, right? That's a fascinating question. People are often really interested in, like the changes in price, right? There's a kind of, you can see, kind of inflation, and it has that, that little chuckle where you're like, oh, that bottle of wine used to be, $2 and, isn't it $35 now? And there's, so there's a whole range of things. And, we also were able to talk with the folks at New York Public Library Labs about the ways that, people had approached them about using it. And, that gave us, sort of additional ideas, from, there are people that want to build apps around this data, give you other ways of browsing it. There are people, there was a group of the librarian, another group of librarians, who did a hackathon project where they were mashing up this menus data with other data from DPLA, I believe, and they created a little Twitter bot that would tweet out dishes of what people could eat. So there's a lot of different fascinating ways I think this could go.
Katie, any thoughts on that question? The way you've seen people use the data or how they're interested in using it?
So I always think of Paul Freeman's work. He is a historian, and he spent many, many years working on menus and did a ton of his own data collection and cleaning and worked with graduate students to do it, and it took so much time. And his work is brilliant, and I love him very much. And I guess that to me, I imagined what it would mean for scholars to not have to take the 7 years to actually filter through this data. And then you can, I don't know, I think that the questions are myriad. Psyche Forston-Williams, who I talked with a little bit about this project, was interested in whether or not we could ask questions of race about it. Elizabeth Englehart, who's another, interested in whether or not there would be ways to key questions of gender into these things. The geography of it is also quite exciting because we have the places where these things were being served. So not just in terms of New York City geography, but this is also world geography and the ways that that food is traveling from one place to another. And so it seems to me, at least in the food studies world, this could answer lots of questions that people ask and then spend a lot of time searching for data.
Great. Trevor, I think in one of your blog posts you had mentioned how the New York Public Library had done a great job of arranging open access to their data on this project. Can you explain a little bit about what you mean there, and maybe how other institutions can follow their lead?
Right. I think the beauty of what New York Public Library Labs has done with this project is that their impulse was to openness, and that they were able to follow through on that impulse with the simplest possible solution, right? So that they could get the data out the door, right? Because I think many people in cultural heritage have the impulse to openness and say, we want to share what we have with the public. And then often it becomes like a long, like many meetings and engineering, and like you're trying to like spec things out with vendors, and it becomes this never-ending thing, and nothing ever gets out the door.